I'm just as surprised as you are to be standing here this morning. Just about the time that we were to leave for church, my telephone rang. And a very distraught voice of Brother Phillips was on the line. "Brother Northern, my barn's on fire. It's filled with hay. And we have some fuel tanks close. And he says, you may have to stand in for me this morning." The thing I thought of was, don't get hurt. We're happy, David, that you're back. We hope everything, we know it is, or you wouldn't be here, that everything is all right. We never know what a day is going to bring. And therefore, we ought to always, as much as possible, be ready for whatever comes. Realizing that this is the day the Lord hath made, let us be glad and rejoice in it. Our lesson today has to do with Matthew 7, 13 and 14. Those of you that were in the adult class this morning noticed that when I came to that scripture, I jumped past it. There was a reason I wanted to use it as our text today in our lesson. Here Jesus is prescribing that which is absolutely essential for entering into the kingdom of God, and that is attaining a life of righteousness by the grace of the Almighty. May the Lord help us as we read this text and reflect upon it. He says in verse 13, "Enter ye in at the narrow gate." King James Version says the straight gate. "For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few that be that find it." Jesus Christ was real frank with us up front. He came to die by the grace of God to prepare us a way in heaven, that you and I might have eternal life. But not at any time did he ever say that it's going to be easy. There is no such thing as just an easy, comfortable religion. Paul told Timothy straightway that the individual who lives godly in Christ Jesus is going to suffer persecution. Jesus called the entering into this way of life the straight gate, S-T-R-A-I-T, which simply means this: it is narrow and it's going to be difficult to enter, and I think mainly because of the rebelliousness in the heart of man. Man is prone to be rebellious against God. He wants to do it his way. He wants to revise and do it in the way that is comfortable for his own sake. He wants then a religion of convenience for himself. And so then Jesus says, regarding sinful man, it's a straight gate. It's a straight gate because Peter, on preaching that first great sermon on the day of Pentecost, said, you must repent before you can be baptized. Repentance means that there is a condition of heart where you're willing to put away the old man of sin. This means all kinds of pet sins that you've had for years. This means the things that have been handed down to you that you, perhaps in your own heart, thinks right, but you've learned by the Word of God that it's quite different. And there's going to have to be a change in your heart and in your life. And there's no reason, no use to be baptized unless you're willing to enter in through that straight gate. Not too terribly long ago, Sue and I were in Jackson, Mississippi. We topped a hill there in the town coming in, and on the right was an incoming ramp. We were coming toward it. The ramp then was a ramp for the other side of the divided highway. And there was a couple coming up that ramp the wrong way. They were coming into incoming traffic. We saw it. We were there. We saw it. And Man, it got our attention just exactly like that. What in the world is going to happen to this couple? They're going up the wrong way. That we saw in our rearview mirror cars coming. We had to keep driving because traffic was thick on our side. We saw what was happening. Now, I do not believe for a minute that these people were not honest and sincere. They just made a mistake. And they made a mistake besides the fact that there were all kinds of signs at the entrance of that ramp. No left turns, no turns here, and all of this, you know. Do not enter. And yet they did anyway. Maybe they were confused. Maybe they didn't read the signs. But I believe they were honest and sincere. Even though I knew they couldn't hear me, you don't think at that time. I yelled in our car, no! And was wondering what was going to happen. I wonder if the Lord Jesus Christ is not something like that. God in heaven who gave His Son, who has marked the way straight and narrow for us and then has laid it out with all kinds of signs of no left turns here or no right turns here or do not enter here. And yet man pell-mell goes on his way, even though in some cases, many cases, he may be honest and sincere, but destruction is in the wake. I wonder if God in heaven and Jesus Christ are not just as concerned as we were when we looked over and saw what was happening. Oh, no! And there's souls doing that every day in this world that are going in the wrong direction. They're going in the broad way because it's comfortable to them, because it's a convenient religion. And it just seems like all the angels in heaven are saying, oh, no! But it's happening. And truth of the matter, there wasn't anything I could do about it. There wasn't anything anybody could do about it. And perhaps unless somebody was closer to them over there that could do something. You know, there's something else. I don't know what happened to them. Because we were going at 60 miles an hour through there. Traffic was moving heavy. And I quickly lost sight of them. Well, guess what I did? I looked in the headlines of the paper next week, but I saw nothing, so maybe it worked out fine. I do not know. But there's a lot of times we don't know today when people take the wrong path. All we know is have the word of the Lord that destruction is at the end of the way, and all we can be is be concerned about them. So regarding this straight and narrow way, I want to point out two or three or four things here that are absolutely impossible, that are no-nos. Do not enter. And then there's some ways to enter. Paul was asking me this morning, are you going to be against the narrow? Are you going to be for the broad? Or what are you going to be? We're going to be both. But the thing we want to point out is that God has placed signs at the straight and narrow gate. And He wants every last one of them to read them carefully and to be sure they're on the right road. Because there's absolutely no way that you can reach the right destination if you're not willing to travel the right road. Now the choice is up to us. And there's some impossible things concerning your salvation regarding this straight and narrow path. The first thing that's laid out just as plain as it can possibly be is that it is absolutely impossible to experience or to be saved without Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the premium of heaven that God gave for the salvation of everyone. And yet, you say, well, that's trite, Brother Nolan, we all understand. No, we don't. First place, there's a great segment of the population of this world that still rejects Jesus Christ. Billions of Islamic people, also the Jewish people, and many in this own country of ours that reject Him as far as His Word is concerned. There's a nice little sentimental religion that creates a Jesus of your choice in your heart who lets you do it like you want to do it. But that's not the Jesus of the Son of God. That's not the Jesus we read about in the Bible that tells us about the straight and narrow way. Jesus, the Bible says in Matthew 1:21, his name is going to be called Jesus because he will save people from their sins. And it says also, in case we get it wrong, Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Luke 6:46, why, and yet it's done every day, why call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? And John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but by me. Well, it's absolutely impossible to be saved without Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was sent here incarnate for the God in heaven, because there was no other way to save you and me. I wouldn't be surprised that in heaven, that time when the decision came for someone to go, and God needed someone to go, and Jesus would volunteer and say, I go, that all of the angels in heaven stood in silence and at attention. It's such a gift from heaven that come and humble himself for your salvation and for mine. But just as it's impossible to travel that road, that straight and narrow road, without Jesus Christ, the Son of God, there is no way under God's Son that you can separate the Jesus in the New Testament from his word, from the gospel, which is called the glad tidings, the good news of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of that, because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believe. It's the only power. There is no power in prayer that sets aside the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no power in all the contribution you can give to some worthy fund or even to the church, if it's without and beside or beyond the gospel of Jesus Christ. For God has affixed in that word of God the good news that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he was resurrected from the dead for your sins and for mine. And he says, then therefore we ought to obey that form of doctrine, Romans 6, 16-17. And as many as have obeyed that form of doctrine have been then made free from sin and become servants of righteousness. And he outlines in the first part of that chapter that that form of doctrine is our entering into the straight gate. Well, what he said was, it is then the burial of the old man of sin. That's repentance. And then rising from the watery grave of baptism to walk in newness of life. So Jesus said, or the Hebrew writer says in Jesus' words, Hebrews 5:89, though he were the Son, yet learned the obedience by the things that he suffered. And being made perfect, I thought Jesus was perfect when he came here, Paul. This says he was made perfect. Well, the idea was that before he came, he certainly was perfect and without sin. But he had to go to the cross to make the atonement. Therefore, the atonement, the salvation, had to be made perfect. And he came to do that. And he fulfilled that purpose. And it says there, though he were the Son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. And he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that would obey him. You cannot enter that straight gate without going through Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and you cannot go through it without obeying the gospel, which is his word, which is the atonement for sins, the message of the atonement for sins. But beloved, you cannot do it either. You cannot enter that straight gate without coming via the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the atonement is all about. That's why then he became incarnate. Spirits do not have flesh and blood. And yet it took the shedding of blood, it took death of a righteous person, a perfect righteous person, which none of us could be, to die for the sins of the world. And so he came to do that, to shed his blood. For 1,500 years, longer than that, even back before the law of Moses, billions and billions and billions of gallons of blood had been shed. Blood was everywhere. They were killing animals everywhere for the shedding of blood, and yet The Bible says in the New Testament, we know, Hebrews 10, that the blood of bulls and goats cannot take away the sins of the world. Somehow that animal, as innocent as it is, cannot enter into the conscience and correct it there and cleanse it. It was just a token, it was just a passing thing until the real sacrifice could come, which is Jesus Christ. Because the writer said, this is in 10:4, but just in 9:22, he says, now we know without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. Because there's one utter decree, not just of God, but because of righteousness, that you cannot sin without paying the penalty of death. And all of us are going to have to die physically, but Jesus paid the penalty of death for all of us when it comes to eternal life and enjoying eternal life. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And it's in His blood we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, Paul says in Ephesians. But just as the narrow and straight gate says you cannot enter without Christ, you cannot enter without His gospel message, you cannot enter without the atoning blood, it says you cannot enter here without entering into the church. The church which is purchased with His blood. If you do away the church, you do away with His blood, you see. Matthew 16:18, He promised to build this church. Acts 20:28, He died on the cross that the church would be redeemed or purchased with His blood. And so the Hebrews in the 13th chapter says the same thing. Hebrews 10:29 tells us the same thing. Acts 2:47, when those on the day of Pentecost obeyed the gospel, they had the remission of their sins. They that notice this gladly received the word. There is no way under God's Son that you can ever have then the promises of Jesus Christ, the gospel, the atoning blood, without receiving the word of God gladly. If you don't receive it gladly, you're a sitting duck for somebody to change it for you. And the Bible says to these people in Acts 2:47 that the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So then now, it's impossible to say without Christ, His gospel, His blood, without membership in His church. We're not talking about a denominational church, a division, a sect. We're talking about the one you read about in the Bible that He purchased with His blood. And then finally, beloved, in this straight and narrow gate, you cannot enter into it and enter into this life of righteousness. You cannot be saved without doing something about it. Oh, I'm sort of like I said a while ago when I saw the man coming up the ramp on the wrong way, and I yelled in my car, even though no way he could have heard, no! And I hear people on the radio. I heard one this morning. It's all been done for you. You don't have to do anything. Just sit right there in your room and pray this little prayer, and he goes over a little prayer for you to pray. It's okay. And they'll tell you quickly, there's nothing to do. It's all been done for you. The truth of the matter is, all that's been done for you is the grace of God that's extended to you. And when grace of God is extended, there is something for you to do. 7:21 again, Matthew 7:21. It's not everyone that's religious or says, Lord, Lord, but he that who does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Those on the day of Pentecost, when Peter said, you by wicked hands have crucified the Lord of glory, they cried aloud, what shall we do? In no way did Peter say, well, it's all been done for you. You don't have to do anything. Peter said to them, this is what you've got to do. Repent and be baptized. Now notice how the Holy Spirit emphasizes it. Every one of you. There's not a single one that can travel the broad way, the nice, easy way. Well, that's straight. Well, yes, it's straight. That's the way it is. And so then, he tells us, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can't rewrite that. There's people going up the wrong ramp. And surely those who know the truth are wanting to yell sometimes, even though they can't hear. Their eyes they've closed, their ears they've closed, let them see with their eyes and hear with ears. But we yell anyway. And that's why we're meeting here today, to say once again to anybody, you need to enter the straight and narrow way. The straight way means you've got to repent of your sins, put them away. And entering the narrow way is being baptized into Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you're a new creature when you do this. Paul says in Romans 6, you rise then to walk this newness of life. And then you sing in your daily life, mold me, make me after thy will. And when you come to draw your last breath, you won't know what he'll be like. But the Bible says, when you're ushered over, you'll be like him as he is. Because we're going through, as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5, though the outer man perish, the inner man is being renewed day by day. God help us all as we strive for that renewal in our heart day by day to be like him when he comes. If you're here and you haven't obeyed the gospel and entered that narrow way, you're unsaved. But the grace of God says, repent and be baptized for remission of sins. If you'll do that this very day, God will add you to his church. And you can start saying in spirit and truth, my Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and sing, mold me and make me after thy will. If there's a single erring one here today who's erred away from the truth, we hope that you would change your mind. You going up the own ramp, you're supposed to know better. And it don't make any difference. You can twist the signs to look the other way or whatever, but they're still there. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We plead with you also to answer the invitation. Let us pray with you and for you, that you might be then be renewed to your first love, while we stand and sing.